Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. As you notice, this is not Dennis doing the introduction because he didn't like this episode at all. So this is Harold.
And this is not Dennis. Okay. I thought we were kind of reversing things. Okay.
You're Dennis.
I'm Dennis.
I'm Lewis. I am still Lewis.
Okay, cool.
All right. Glad to know that we still, you know.
Know our names.
Yeah, but you know, every time it gets out of order, that's when we always get confused.
My brain stopped real quick. Like,
Sorry. How did it go? Okay, just check it.
Oh, Archer. Sorry.
Today we actually here you go. This is going to be a whole episode of this, guys. This is going to be a kind of different episode where usually we have a topic where, you know, we can divulge into different levels here. This one, it's not so much a specific topic as it is a generalization of what the idea of this episode is supposed to be.
That was deep.
I was going to say, it was like, that's
so if you guys really know what I just said, it's just like, we got one big idea with small ideas about it. So
wow. Sounds like a marketing thing to say.
You gotta simplify things for everybody. But the general idea is the year, you know, obviously now is 2019.
In the year 2019.
Someone had done a study where it was like, they said every 5 years, something great happens in pop culture. So, and they would always use the reference of the starting year would be 1984. And just in general, 1984 had, like, what was we previously discussed, Ghostbusters came out, Gremlins came out, Karate Kid came out.
Goonies came out.
That's there was a book by Orwell.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay. Yeah, there was a book about by Orwell that came out in 1940-something.
48, by the way. Yeah. 48.
So they had said, you know, there's every 5 years something amazing happens. And I had taken that idea into saying, you know, 89, 94. And what we're going with today, and since it's been 20 years, jeez, we're going to talk about the year 1999.
In the year 1999? That doesn't work. No, doesn't sorry. Work. Damn it, Conan. No, this
is... In the year 2000-1.
That's our marketing guy, guys.
By the way, love Conan O'Brien. Finally, thank you, Dennis, for using that reference today. But 1999, very special year for everybody here. Kind of actually the first year that we met this guy.
Yeah.
Because before that, we had just...
He wasn't born yet.
Well, he wasn't born into our existence. Oh, okay. And when we met him, we're like, man, look at this douchebag.
Yellow douche.
Yeah, we're never going to be friends with this guy and his earrings and really hyper-colored. I'm making fun of him. I'm wearing orange shorts right now.
I was going to say.
But anyways, like, yeah, you know.
Which, by the way, real quick story. One of the first times I ever met Lewis in that year, he was wearing the outfit. And it just so happened that... why were you riding with my wife home?
Whoa.
Yikes. I don't know. I needed a ride.
Oh, I guess yeah, so. You did. And then he ended up meeting my brother because he went to a parent-teacher conference.
That was hella awkward. Not just because I was wearing like a really loud yellow fleece, but I don't know either.
And sunglasses. Don't forget the sunglasses.
Yes. Oh, God. Goggles, I think they were.
Oh, man.
99, what a different year that was. I honestly don't even remember. I mean, I met your wife, you know, back when you were still dating with her, because... through friends, because she went to the same high school, not the same high school, she went to a rival high school in Burbank, she went to Burroughs, and the first few friends that I made at Cal State Northridge were, you know, some of the older classmates that I had from Burbank, so I guess, you know, small circle of friends and gotcha. Whatnot, so awkward. Yes.
Yeah, but that was like literally the first year that you obviously graduated from high school that year.
Yes, yes.
So this is your 20-year reunion,
oh,
if you want it to happen.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
I had mine. It was pretty fun.
Oh, yeah. Did you hook up with anyone? I mean,
no, they're all they...
hook up with anyone?
Yeah, it was like 55 Filipinos. But that also means, you know, that year, just I remember so many things, just vividly. It's been 20 years, But so many big pop culture events happened during that year.
Well, it's funny that when we were going to talk about this topic, Lewis, I think it was Lewis who came up with the idea, and I could be wrong, maybe it was you. But,
Probably me.
Oh, yeah. When it was Harold. And so when Harold kind of pointed out that, you know, we should do this, my first reaction was like, I don't know anything about that, you know, that year. You know, there wasn't really much, you know, event or nothing really happened that year. But as we were on our chat kind of talk about it, we were like, oh crap, you know, it's things just started coming about, and we realized, my god, as Harold pointed out, there were so many things in terms of pop culture, at least, you know, not just, I mean, hell, politics was amazing. Mm-hmm. That was when that was Bill Clinton getting
heyday. Oh yeah, that was peak.
He's getting peak
Bill.
No, that was a couple of years ago, the peak.
Yeah,
you know, he was trying to defend the peak. So many things that were happening. So I guess that's what we're going to be dealing with today, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, let's list off some of the great significant events, movies, TV shows, music even, and like books we talked about in the chat that came out that year. That the best part, I think, when we were chatting about it in the chat was how it kind of triggered a lot of stuff. It could be positive memories. It could be like horrible memories, but it triggered something that even to this day still resonates, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get right into it. I mean, which one of the many movies came out that year do you want to start off with?
We got to start with the biggest movie that year. Unfortunately, the biggest movie, but also the biggest letdown for everybody.
Sixth Sense?
That's, you like that movie?
Sorry, it was too scary for me.
That is giving back to the beginning.
It was too scary. B, even though it was before the internet, well, not before the internet, before I was so into the internet, somebody had already like spoiled it for me.
Oh yeah, so, okay. Yeah, I think you talked about that in our spooky
article. I was like, oh, Jesus. But for me, it was Phantom Menace.
Yeah, my gosh. I still remember that. Okay, I hate to jump in, but like, so just the premise from my perspective, 1998.
Where were you?
I was really didn't know. Yes. Well, I was working at the AMC in Burbank the year before, 1998. Oh, the year before, so, like, you have to imagine. It's hard for our listeners to imagine, but back then, a whole year came before Phantom Menace, and this was advertised so heavily. We had one of the stand-ups we had at the AMC was this poster. It's a classic image of the young Anakin, the young boy Anakin, played by tip of my tongue,
Jake something.
Jake Lloyd. Thank you, Jake Lloyd. And then behind him,
Jake Lloyd was at the tip of your tongue.
What?
Yeah, he was.
What? Phrasing.
Oh, jeez. It was a stand-up of Jake Lloyd, and behind him was a shadow of Darth Vader. And that one poster, like, triggered so many fans. You know, back when I was, 98, I would have only been, like, 17, 18 years old. I mean, I was a casual Star Wars fan, but even that, like, excited my mind. Like, it was so exciting at the time to be like, this is, like, you know, something beholden back then, and something that's really exciting a lot of the nerds back then. So, yeah, that was my perspective.
Were you beholden, Jake Lloyd?
I was beholden Anakin and Padme and everybody.
For me, I was like, it's still one of the most awesome experiences, just because my friends got in line at 9 o'clock in the morning. I got in line right after class ended, which was at 10:30. So I was in line from 11 o'clock to midnight. Not consecutively, because we would all just take shifts. So people would like go pick up. They were broke-ass college kids. So we'd like go to Starbucks, you know, like get one coffee and then just keep refilling it with water with the last couple beans in there and everything. Just rotating. We got pissed off at our one buddy because he came in at like 10:30.
Uh-huh.
So we're like, dude, you wait an hour and a half in line while the rest of us have been here for 12 plus hours. And then, of course, you know, having to see the movie and being, at the time, very excited about what I just saw. Because, you know, like we talked about before, Star Wars originally, like Return of the Jedi ended in 83. 16 years later, we finally get the prequels to find out what exactly happens.
Well, we kind of had the extended, you know.
Yeah. But then this is in terms of like brand new storyline, like that had never been exposed before. This is the first thing that we got. And I was like, oh, you know, it was a movie.
It was a thing.
And I liked it. I think I just blocked out pretty much the beginning of the movie. And then, you know, Duel of the Fates came on, and that's all I remember.
Yeah.
And I don't remember anything else
to
it.
Well, it was funny. For me, I was not able to get a ticket for the midnight showing, like, here in the Valley. I remember, I think it was our friend Mooney was able to get me a ticket, like, during the day, of. So, but I was like, I it's such a momentous event. You know, it's been a while. It's been a hot minute since Star Wars. I need to be there. And so I was able to find a ticket in Orange County. And I remember I went with a couple people and we were there. And midnight showing, I watched it. And maybe it was because I was kind of like, you know, hallucinating at that point. I was like, oh my God, that was the greatest thing ever. And then, you know, I went to sleep. I went to the showing. And I remember everybody, I was kind of proud. I was like, dude, I already watched it. And everybody was like, how was it? I was like, oh, it was amazing. Halfway through the movie, I was like, oh my God, I forgot about this. Pod racing.
That scene wasn't bad.
Midichlorians and all.
Yeah, okay, that part. I mean, just ignore that part and just pretend they're doing NASCAR in the desert.
Exactly. That's all I remember. Okay, well, I'll try to imagine that next time I'm disappointed about a movie. Okay. So, any other movies that you guys enjoyed during that era?
I think on the flip side of quality, at least for me, one of the best surprises that year was The Matrix.
Yep.
The Keanu Reeves surprise hit that is still, you know, being relevant today. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Wachowskis are making a sequel or a new series based on the Matrix. And, yeah, like I said, one of the best kept secrets, I think, for that year. Because it was like, it's hard for some of our listeners for this next generation to imagine how advertising worked back then and whatnot. But like, nobody really knew what they were in for, because the Matrix advertising, again, it was just like the green font or the black poster with the green font with the falling numbers and Keanu Reeves. Up until then, he was only known as Ted
Point Break.
Or Point Break guy, or Speed. The guy from Speed. And it's like, okay, I guess it's going to be just another sci-fi flick. And then, you know, I'm guilty of it, but I only watched it because of word of mouth. And I had some friends who said, you got to see it. You got to see it. It's a really good movie. And you see it, and it blows your mind because of how well made and how well constructed it is. You know, unfortunately, culturally, it did kind of affect a lot of, you know, negative connotations with the whole trench coat image and, you know, gun culture. But, you know,
that was around the time of Columbine happened.
Unfortunately, yeah. So yeah, there was a lot of, you know, politically and socially, there was a lot of tangential, you know, causation that was said, like, oh, you know, these kind of movies made these kids do that. But, you know, at the time, you know, Matrix was a huge, huge movie. So what do you guys think?
It's funny that, you know, you talked about the idea that it was word of mouth, and the funny part is, yes, I watched it because of word of mouth, but it wasn't, nobody told me, dude, action sequences are amazing, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
The reason I went there was, man, it changed my life. Like, you know, it opened up my mind. I was like, what do you mean, man? You know, I remember somebody go, you just have to think about blue pill or red pill. I was like, ooh, I gotta see this now.
Am I pregnant? You know,
and so when I watch it, and again, that movie, no matter how, you know, you talk about relevance of it, there were just so many things that movie created. That was the first movie that really took advantage of not really the computer graphics. So it was, you know, it's already been there, but they really, a lot of the photographic effects that they have, the bullet time, that's where it came from, you know. So it really was ahead of its time at that point. I thought it was a great movie.
You know what's ironic is I remember them hyping up. I still watch a lot of HBO, and it was like those HBO first look, The Matrix. And they're like, oh, there's this thing that we have called like the bullet time sequence. And I remember seeing that effect done a year earlier in another movie. The movie was called Wing Commander. Nobody saw Wing Commander.
I was going to say, with Freddie Prinze Jr.?
You know what? Yeah, but you know why most people watch Wing Commander?
Freddie Prinze Jr.?
No, to see the trailer for Phantom Menace.
Oh, I remember that. You're right.
So yes, that's how things came around. But for me, I watched Matrix opening night. This is a big thing about like the years 1997 to like probably 2005 is everything, and kind of now, but everything had to be opening night or midnight showings for me, because I never wanted anyone else giving me their opinion about things before I was able to develop them on my own. That's why right now, when people do give me their opinions about things before I get to see it on myself, I'd get kind of angry. Like, so we had that whole like
Harold slaps him.
That's why I had that whole spoiler and I'm like, Jesus Christ, people. But like,
came back.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
That guy came back. It took him 3 days. With The Matrix, yeah, I just remember me and my buddies were like, okay, we're going to watch this movie. about computers. That's all they said was it's about computers. And I was like,
I like the fact that they're totally different. Mine yeah. is for the philosophical
thing. Yours is for the guns. And yeah, my social, buddies, political. My buddies were all like trying to be hackers and stuff. And I was like, yeah, but I saw.
They all watched the net.
What was his job? Like, what was he doing? He's a hacker.
He gave out discs, dude. Yeah, floppy disks. I remember that.
AOL. Hey, good job being. You were the first Matrix guy.
There you go. But it was literally, it was just like that. And I was like, I couldn't. I had to watch that movie again. That's how great it was for me.
Sorry, the thought of AOL discs being distributed by Neo
in the mail,
and that's how they're able to get into
the Matrix.
Oh my god, that's my new canon. So the movie that I kind of want to talk about is that year came the most amazing musical at that time. You know, like Harold and I are huge musical people. I guess Harold Lewis is.
Casual.
As long as it's Mamma Mia.
You know, or Rent, excuse you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, you know, that year, South Park announced, well, it was announced a year before, but, you know, that was the year that South Park came up with a bigger, better, and uncut.
Bigger, longer,
and uncut, sorry. Right. And I remember watching it. I watched it because of how vulgar South Park was. You know, that at that point, you know, now South Park is kind of tame. You know, like a lot of the things that they do, even today, even though they kind of just try to push it, it's not, you know, back then when, you know, Cartman was making fun of Kyle being, you know, an effing Jew and all those things. We were like, oh my God, I can't believe it came out of his mouth. But so I watched it and I sat there and I was watching. I was expecting the same thing. But what came out was amazing, like it was an amazing musical.
Yeah,
still vulgar, still hilarious, but it was a great music. To this day, I still, every so often when I have a chance, I still listen. You know the Kyle's mom is still a classic for me. But the moment
the song or Kyle's actual mom?
Oh, Kyle's mom. Well, especially in that scene where she like kind of does a can and you say, yeah, okay, no, so no, but again, kind of shows you how amazing that song was. I was enjoying the individual songs, but then all of a sudden there was that big song where every single song, just like every major
big medley,
yeah, like every major musical you have, they have a medley where they combine all these three things. I was like,
this is great. Did anyone tell you what the double header or the double feature I saw with South Park was?
No.
So the first movie was South Park, you know, thing. Mm. The second movie was Big Daddy.
Wow.
So I was like, this is a great day.
It's like, what a wonderful day.
I have not left this hard in a long time. But it's very interesting.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. South Park was, I'm glad Harold brought it up, but like that was actually one of the few times that I still remember, like the movie made me laugh out loud in the theater, embarrassingly so. Like, you know, like you're belly laughing to the point where it's like, holy crap, I hope I don't get in trouble for this. But like they just like, I get what you said about like the cursing and the vulgarity, but the fact that they tried to like outrightly upset everybody, like Canadians, Christians, you know, everybody in the middle, it felt like there was nothing.
Even Satan.
Yeah.
Especially Satan. You know what's still my favorite thing is the Jar Jar Binks reference.
I gotta watch it again. I don't remember that part.
Do you remember that part?
Yes, I do, but you're a liar because that's not the most memorable for you. There's one joke there that you at least
used once
a month.
Time? No, but I'm saying
the what?
The usual joke we make fun of?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still love that you some people gonna die.
And like a totally different, like I mentioned earlier, I was working at AMC back in 98, the year before this. I still had friends who worked at the movie theater. There was I don't know if it's urban legend or just rumor, but if I'm not mistaken, there were movies, there was another movie, I want to say it's like a rom-com or one of those silly little other movies that made a gang ton of money that same weekend where South Park came out. The rumor is, or the urban legend is, it's only because kids paid money to see that movie and snuck
Pokemon.
Okay, was it the Pokemon movie or what?
Yeah. I think it's the Pokemon movie.
Yeah,
the third movie Harold watched.
Yes.
And he cried because Ash turned into a statue.
Because Psyduck was just slapping the other Psyduck. Sorry. But so yeah, that was like one of those, like, I get it. It makes sense because, again, back then I was only 16, 17 years old, or no, 17 years old, and a lot of the South Park demographic were high school kids who were only like 15, 16, and, you know, back then you couldn't buy tickets online. You had to buy tickets at the box office in front of a person.
You had to wait in
line. So you can't fake it and say, oh yeah, I'm 18 watching a rated R movie. And, you know, back then a rated R cartoon was like unheard of. Yeah. So yeah, a huge cultural impact, hilarious. Still stands up, I think, to this day. I
mean, yep. Every single time, it rarely happens, but I've watched it a couple, like 2 years ago. I think it was not AMC, Max, something Max, the
Skinemax.
But the safer version of Cinemax.
Okay.
Comedy Central?
No, it's always Mac. Like the past HBO, it just
has Mac. I'm scrolling.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
One of those premium channels.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, a thing that I still remember is, I remember at the time when that movie was about to come out, I had not built my DVD collection yet, and I told Dennis, I was like, as soon as I buy my very first DVD, is going to be South Park, and then he was kept on reminding me. He's like, remember, when you buy your first DVD, it's going to be that. And then I was like, you know, I'm thinking of buying Terminator. He's like, nah. So my very first run at a DVD store, I bought South Park and Terminator 2.
So Harold DVD spending stores. $1 billion on DVDs, my fault.
Yeah. Yes. And $1,000 on a DVD player. There you go. Well spent on a cartoon. So Harold kind of alluded to it earlier. So let's talk about something else that was like a big pop cultural event. Was Pokemon. 1999 was the year where Pokemon, the cartoon, made a huge impact to kids, not to mention the Game Boy games for Pokemon Gold and Silver, I believe it is, and yes. The movie came out later that spring, too.
And the thing that has ruined not just kids, but like many adults, is the Pokemon trading card game. And I mean, it was just like the perfect storm of Pokemon.
Yeah, that was like, I've never seen anything happen since then. Oh, that kind of encompasses that, because it's still, I mean, Pokemon to this day is still a thing. I mean, Pokemon Go is still very active, if I'm not mistaken. And then like every year, Nintendo, that's their tentpole, one of their tentpole games is like what Pokemon version coming out this year and who's playing what. And Pikachu, obviously, this I mean, again, 20 years later, Detective Pikachu is keeping Ryan Reynolds, you know, paid and happy and all that stuff. So it's still, you know, hanging on to our generation and this next generation as well. My kid still collects cards. He doesn't know how to play, but he knows it, and he likes to play it. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I hate to say that it was, you know, the kids who enjoyed it, but I was like in my 20s already.
You were in college.
I was already in college when that thing came out. And so, like, every single thing that you talk about, the Pokemon movie, the TV show, the card game,
the Game Boy game.
I was playing every single one of those. it was something that I loved. I remember every single time I would go to Blockbuster on Nordoff and Sepulveda.
Oh, and
not Sepulveda, Reseda. And I would go there.
Yes, a Blockbuster.
A what?
The Blockbuster.
A Blockbuster video. Exactly. Okay.
And so I'd be like, do you have the latest episode of Pokemon?
Excuse me, sir. I am an adult.
But I do remember that one of the things, two Pokemon stories, at least for me, one was, I believe you came, well, you went with me, and somebody else, I think you, my wife is there again all of a sudden. But I remember we were able to buy some keychains. You had a Psyduck keychain, my wife had a Jigglypuff one, yes. And I had like a Snorlax one. And you know, we were so happy when we went to the movie theater and they were giving out like the video, like the trading card game, and it was the Pikachu thing, and it was funny that it was just this whole, you know, tidal wave of Pokemon that unfortunately I like surfed.
Still surfing. I'm still waiting in those waters to this day. So yeah. What else happened that year that we haven't dug
deep? Harold was too cool for Pokemon.
Dennis gave me my
right now he's like losers.
Dennis gave me my first set of trading cards.
Oh, trading cards.
And then he would drive us to the Burger King. Burger King.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they wasn't Happy Meals.
It was at Burger King.
Yes.
And they had the Pokeballs at Burger King.
Yes.
And then I was the first person in our group to get a Pikachu. And people, when I was sleeping, were trying to steal it from me, which goes to show what kind of friends we had staying at Dennis's house. So, yeah, there was it. But ironically enough, the year 1999, and this is going to sound weird, I spent a lot of it at Dennis's old apartment. He still lived on campus.
Yep.
or near campus. So like,
to be fair, it wasn't just me.
It was him and like a bunch of other people. So,
a bunch of squatters. And
yeah, that's what we were.
Homeless people.
We were the people that
broke
were like
students. And
if we can combine like three quarters together, we can buy a taco at Jack and Black. And we can all just split it. I have no idea, man. It boggles the mind, but somehow it happened.
Like, kind of a side story here. I was telling my students about, you know, back in the day, I was working at Jamba Juice. They're like, how much money you were making? And I thought about it, like, how was I able to survive with that little paycheck coming in every 2 weeks, dude?
I wasn't.
That's why you were hanging out at the...
Yeah, that's why I was hanging at your place. But we used to watch MTV all the time. And that was like, you know, peak boy band time.
Oh, yeah.
And so, oh, yeah. You know, coming from high school into this, I had always listened to like NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys. And, you know, I was like, you know what? I kind of like NSYNC a little bit better. And then in 1999, Millennium came out. The Backstreet Boys' biggest album. I think it's one of the biggest albums of all time.
Yeah.
I think it's like Triple Diamond or something. It sold like 30 million copies.
That's nuts.
And all off the basis of just one song, you know?
Yeah, yeah. My sister, love her to death, killed that CD. Every minute she was playing it at home, to the point where like she had her debut, like a, you know, 16th birthday party 5-6 years later. In 2005 or so, she still had that. That was a central theme of her debut. I was like, wow, that was old.
Is it really?
Yeah, dude. You don't remember?
You did the
choreography, bro.
I know. I was drunk.
There was a little bit of Millennium in there.
Okay.
But
by the way, interesting fact. Harold was a choreographer for a debut.
Yes.
So you were the co-choreographer. Interesting fact. Interesting fact, Dennis wasn't there. So all the kids were like, what are we supposed to do? And I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have drank this early.
So soon.
Like, damn you, Lewis's mom.
I was in Australia. What can I say?
I know, I don't want to talk about that experience. It was still very traumatic. But that CD, like, for Lewis, for Dennis, I took summer school that year, and I had to pick up, like, other kids for my dance group. And that CD blasted all the time. And they were like, you have a 6-CD changer. We keep listening to the same CD. I was like, no, there's this CD. And for some reason, not for some reason, but the American Pie soundtrack. So
solid choice.
Yeah. Speaking of which, 1999, American Pie.
That's crazy. That came out that same year. American Pie.
Oh, Jason Biggs.
That's what you think about Jason Biggs?
Yes. Jason Biggs, because he was kind of like Spider-Man. He was the everyday man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was the guy that we kind of felt like it was happening to us. But at the same time, at the back of our minds, we were hoping that we would get, you know, the hot girl.
Shannon Elizabeth.
Oh, gosh. Peach Shannon Elizabeth. Oh,
then it's just sploosh right now. We need to pause. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
My Ajita.
But then I thought you were more excited of who he ended up with, though, right?
Yeah. I always thought that... what is her name?
I'm going to let you figure this out yourself.
Buffy and... She's in... I forgot.
I know her name. I just don't want to do it.
I give up.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. Which, by the way, good. She is great in that... I can't think today. Never mind.
Because you just started thinking Alice Hannigan was like,
You started off with Shannon Elizabeth, dude. Yeah.
Is it called Fool Us? Or was it Fool?
Fool Us, the one with the two magicians. Yeah. She's great.
Are you forgetting everyone's name?
I don't know. I shouldn't be in a podcast about pop culture because I don't remember anything.
You get verklempt after Shannon Elizabeth.
Exactly. I think I saw American Pie in theaters 3 times.
Yeah, I wouldn't be... Yeah.
And it was one of my... It was also part of that collection of South Park and Terminator 2, the first DVDs ever.
Wow. Yeah. That's your...
I don't know. You know, my mind works like that, where it's like, I remember stupid minute details, but if someone tells me something important, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Good for you.
That was a trinity of DVDs back then. Nice. But yeah, like, American Pie, it was one of those crazy cultural, you know, turning points where, like, even to this day, not to sound too weird, but, like, there's so many things that movie coined that's still used today. Like, MILF. Yeah. Thank you.
Do you know what other teen movies came out that year, apparently? 10 Things I Hate About You.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, the classic. I was about to say Jared Leto. Jesus. Wrong Joker. Wow.
I mean, at least he got the Joker. Right?
I would have been like, you know, reference went so bad. I'm like,
I would have been like, you know, that guy's name, the candy bar named after him.
Snicker?
Mr. Goodbar. Yes, that's correct. Keith Goodbar. But yeah, American Pie was great. Like Stifler, the Mills, the first movie for John Cho, and like it's just a great movie. Can't believe, like I think like how Harold Prentice did, like every 5 years, every 10 years comes a really great high school movie. You know, you get Superbad every couple in the 2000s. Yeah, yeah. You know, you obviously have all the other classic 80s high school movies as well. So, yeah, American Pie was ours. So that was just great. And like I said, I graduated class of 99. That was right at my at the peak of stupidity, you know, being a pervert and being a weirdo. Every 18 year old back in prom season was like, we need to go to band camp.
Well, so it's funny that you're talking about, you know, rom-coms and, you know, teen movies. You do remember there's another teen movie that came out that I personally like better than Ten Things or
American Pie.
She's all that.
Yeah. Rachel Lee Cook. Oh man. Okay. Oh,
Rachel Lee Cook. Now Harold. Oh, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. Paul Walker. It was Gabrielle Union, dude.
Oh, okay. That one.
Luz went Super Saiyan for Gabrielle Union.
Oh my god, your yellow hair is back.
Wow, you're right. That movie really had everything for everybody in this room.
I can't remember.
Totally forgot about Gabrielle Union in that movie. You're right, my bad.
Like, Rachel Lee Cook coming down to kiss me.
What?
Oh, yes, walking down to kiss me with Anna Paquin, like, in the background. Like,
what?
Was that Anna Paquin?
From Rogue and X-Men?
Oh, wow. Okay. That is amazing. You,
what a cast.
Why have we not talked about that movie?
And her dad was, what's his name? The guy from The Usual Suspects, Kevin, whatever his name is.
The guy we don't talk about anymore?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
The other Kevin.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Not Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name at the time. Someone else can figure this out for me. But, I literally remember where I saw that movie and when I saw that movie. I saw that movie on Valentine's Day, 1999, at Universal City Walk at 7 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah. It was nice day with my mom and dad.
Oh, I was going to say, like, you had like a date story to go with this.
Yeah, the deal. Just
okay. Because I was going to start singing Kiss Me in the background if you want.
Yeah, what the hell, man? Oh, the song.
We're full of anecdotes today, but that was one of the first songs that I learned to play on the guitar because girls in high school love that.
A Kiss Me?
Yes. Oh, it was a C, then a D, and it was a very easy stuff.
And then they saw the, they had to see the D.
David Harold.
Lewis is okay with the C, though.
Yeah, the C is fine. Just couldn't get that deep. Yeah,
couldn't quite get my finger on the D. What? On the guitar. Jesus.
And fingering on the C was all wrong. Yeah, yeah.
Never could get to the D. Look,
this is the most conversation we've had about the guitar. About so, kind of moving along. That was a year with lots of TV stuff also. It's surprising just how many things. And one of the things I kind of mentioned to Lewis on our chat was I couldn't believe that, a TV show, there were multiple series that started that to this day, some, you know, still really relevant. One of the first ones is SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it, and I think for me that was the first time ever that I thought of back in my mind. I was like, man, you know, animation style has just gone horribly wrong. Because you see Patrick, you see SpongeBob, and I'm still unsure if I like it or not. I remember watching because everybody in, like, loved it. Everybody I know I knew was watching it. There were some people in my apartment that were watching it, you know, and I was...
Were they the potheads in your apartment?
I mean, there were people who were medically illegally, but yes, you know. So, you know, it's amazing that to this day it's still, you know... SpongeBob SquarePants is still a cultural phenomenon to the point where they had a movie like 2 years ago.
Yeah, and they're still making a new one. Excuse me, they're remaking a movie that's going to come out next year. And yeah, it's one of those weird shows that you're right. Like, you know, my stepson was born in 1998. So SpongeBob at its peak, in the 2000s, this was a show that he loved. And it walked that fine line of like being humorous to us as adults, quote unquote, back then. And for kids, because kids loved it for what it was, you know, a silly sponge and his best friend, a freaking starfish. But for like for college kids, I don't know why. I still remember, you know, every year there was a big event in, what school holds sports fest again?
Fullerton.
Fullerton.
That's French games. Pomona.
Yeah. Or one of those big annual games where all the Filipino clubs comes together. And I remember for whatever reason, those 5 years that I was in college, you know, that was always a theme for one of the schools. It's like a SpongeBob theme. And I was like, these are grown, you know, 20-year-old, you know, mid-20s dudes who are still watching a cartoon. And for whatever reason, it spoke to us and it still resonates to this day. So, I don't know. You know, big ups, rest in peace to the creator. I can't remember his name right now. I know who just passed away last year. But, you know, he spoke to a different generation in a different way. And it's making Nickelodeon still lots of money. So, good for him. And I'm glad to have been part of that. Excuse me.
You admit that you were part of it.
Yes.
Was that the year also for Family Guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure was.
It's a great animation year, actually.
Yeah, because...
The thing is about Family Guy is I remember specifically watching episodes and being like, what the heck are we watching? And then it was just gone.
Yeah.
And then I never heard about it again until we went to Mooney's place. And Mooney was like, you ever heard of this show, Family Guy? I was like, yeah. He was like... That's pretty funny. We should watch it on DVD. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, crap, this is great. And then I was like, this came out like 4 years ago or 3 years ago. And it was like, it's crazy that it's still on to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
And not consecutively for 20 years, but I mean.
Yeah, I think it was the first one that actually came back from the dead, right?
Yes. Yeah,
after significant. Sure. It wasn't even a hiatus. It was dead in the water.
It was done.
Yeah, right.
And Seth MacFarlane was able to resuscitate his career to the point where now he's like, I wouldn't call him a big deal, but
yeah,
he's a big deal.
Huh?
For you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because
he's Brian Griffin, Peter Griffin, and then the captain on one of my favorite shows. Right,
yeah,
now. It's amazing.
What's the name of that show, Mister?
It's called Star Trek.
Okay, cool.
Okay. I'm just starting naming random names.
Just doing it incorrectly. Just do it. Yeah, one of these days.
No, the Orville is still like the best, and I really want you guys to watch it. Season two.
I don't. You don't want to tell me to watch it
because
you
would cancel. Oh, yeah. I'll watch it.
Hey, it's terrible. It is a horrible show. Okay,
I'll stay clear of it.
Terrible show. Okay. Was that also? And correct me if I'm wrong. Was that the same year as Futurama?
Yep. Yep. I looked it up that year. It was March of 1999. That's the first year.
How is that possible that three shows that again, I guess the premise of the every 5 years, but just like, okay, you know, alignment of stars that happened. It was just, and that to this day, it's still something that we can actually talk passionately about.
Yeah. I think Fox really took a weird jump that year of like, I guess it was watching or saw the success of The Simpsons, and it went out on like two things, another family comedy with Family Guy, and then going out, you know, writing Matt Groening's successes and giving him the green light for Futurama. And ironically, just kind of like Family Guy, Futurama also saw like a lot of ups and downs and cancellations and network changes like
Rebirth,
that.
But
yeah. So I mean, two shows that have like such a great cult following. So it was a great year for animation. So, but again, like it was one of those years, kind of like SpongeBob, where the animation was like, well, this isn't exactly like top tier quality stuff, yet we're still watching this, and you know it's good. So yeah.
Yeah, I also remember. It's just weird that I always remember things the way I remember them. It's because we spent a lot of time.
That's
together.
That's how memory works.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time in college together, and what I had learned before going into college was surprisingly, college students were into professional wrestling.
Oh,
which
yeah.
was weird to me because like in my elementary school, there was maybe like. In even high school, there's only like three or four other dudes who were ever fans of it. But I went into a couple of different colleges, and they were like, yeah, we watch wrestling. And then when I went to our college, I just found that's pretty much the group of friends that we actually ended up making is like the guys who are into...
They're still hanging out.
The guys who like watching dudes wrestle. And then
that's professionally.
Professionally. Getting paid in tights.
Professionally.
Professionally. And that's when they debuted for the first time SmackDown.
Yeah.
On the UPN network.
UPN, man.
Oh, UPN.
Oh, Moesha.
I was going to say, oh, Shasta McNasty.
I'm seeing a theme here, bro. Gabriel Union.
Moesha. Spoilers for 2000. Okay, I date a black girl.
Okay, now everybody understands the references to it. Why did Lewis went Super Saiyan for Gabriel Union? And Brandy. Maybe it's the braids. I don't know.
It might be. I don't know, man.
Okay, and I'm going to rest there. Says, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember where we were when the first episode of SmackDown debuted?
I do not.
We were at Chuck E. Cheese for a hot faucet night.
Was it? Yeah.
Wow.
Because I had brought my portable television, which is...
The thing
I had before we had phones. I had a portable television.
Gather around, children. Yeah. let Grandpa Harold tell you the story.
And it was my favorite thing because I used it during the finals. Like,
was it the same portable TV that we watched when Robert graduated?
Yes, yeah. That was the same one. That's exactly. And then everyone was like, yeah. And then this guy, and then Dennis's mom got mad at me. She was like, what are you doing? We're like, we're watching the NBA finals. But it's the same TV I had for like 10 years. But we were at Chuck E. Cheese and I was like, there's no TVs at this Chuck E. Cheese, but we got wrestling on. So, yeah. Sad state of affairs.
Yeah, but I mean, that was also like a weird time for like how wrestling became so big. Like, I think that was the peak of like Attitude Era with Stone Cold and The Rock, where, yeah, the WWF went from one-hour show a week to two, you know, 5 hours of programming or 4 or 5 hours of programming every week to what it is today. Like, it's still, you know, they're having... 14 hours, their own, you know, streaming network and their own kind of huge events, and the fact that WrestleMania is basically like Super Bowl for nerds, so, or for, you know, us wrestling marks. So, you know, it's SmackDown's a big part of that because, like, it spread the wealth more or less. Like, you got to see more of The Rock, and kind of, actually, personally, I think that was how it felt like that's how, you know, Vince McMahon, owner of WWF, kind of cemented The Rock, or Dwayne Johnson to you noobs, as the guy, because we're going to name our next flagship show after one of your catchphrases. And, you know, that was it. And from then on, like, again, like MILF, you know, SmackDown became part of the language. You know, everybody will talk, you know, every time you try to talk smack in the playground or whatever, it's like, I'm laying a SmackDown on you. So, yeah, cool.
You know, I just remembered is also one of those great musical acts we haven't really talked about.
The Hughleys?
Yeah, that they're great too. But also the
I got another reaction from this.
UPN.
I love Girlfriends, by the way. So.
Yeah, they were great. But Britney Spears.
Was that when she debuted too? Wow. Britney Spears. Wow.
That was the year that it was really awkward for adults.
Yeah. We had this discussion in Dennis's apartment where I'm not going to name names, but one of Dennis's roommates, not named, that didn't start with an L and was not named Jeremy. So another roommate.
Well, really specific.
Not specific at all. But he was talking about like, man, that girl was really hot. And then he's actually older than Dennis, which is still hilarious. So at the time, were you like 22?
Somewhere.
She's hot. And we're just like, 15, 16 years old. Yikes. He's like, yeah, but she's wearing a schoolgirl outfit. Like,
oh, no. No,
it's not a good look, bro. It's still not a good look.
I remember that year, like, I was in a Asian American studies class.
I don't know why that's funny.
And I remember one of the TAs was walking around and I go, have you heard this new song? And it was the cover of Britney Spears in her, you know, her outfit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was passing it around and it was after our conversation. I was like, dude, guys, come on. You're passing around a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old picture around. Just relax, guys. Jeez. Oh, things got awkward definitely that year. But overall, still, Moesha. So kind of going to from a little risque to a little bit more, family friendly. You know, that was the year that the big book was, I can't talk right now, was Harry Potter and the, was it?
Prisoner
of Azkaban?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Prisoner of Azkaban that year.
So that was the year where they discovered who Sirius is. And Sirius Black I remember, and I was telling Lewis, I kind of had a story. Like, I had no idea who Harry Potter was. Like, that was complete unknown. Harry Potter had not become, like, huge at that point. And, like, there was some literary circles where it was already kind of making big waves, but it wasn't a cultural phenomenon yet. But that was the year that it really jumped to the point where it was funny. That year, I was working at our school, our college, and I was a school counselor, and so we were on a field trip, and this kid, this 12-year-old was reading this book, and he had just finished the book, and he was like, "That was the most amazing story ever." I was like, "What story is that?" And he goes, "It's Harry Potter." I was like, and it was an hour ride, so I was like, "Hey, can I borrow that book?" And I started reading it. And once we got there, I was like already halfway into it. I was like, "Oh my god, this is the greatest book ever!" To the point where I still remember when we got home, I still had like three chapters. It was already at the part where Snape I can't think right now. And Sirius Black finally revealed who he was, that he was Harry's, spoiler.
20-year-old spoilers.
Harry's godfather. It was like, that was a big twist. And he was like, "Dennis, I need my book back now."
"Mr. Dennis?"
And I was like, "No. Why you?" I had to go and I had to run to Walden Books to buy.
There's still a Walden Books?
King of stores back then. Blockbuster, Walden Books. Wow.
I almost thought it was Walden Books.
Yeah, that's
the one. So I ran there, bought it just for like the last three chapters. And I was like, "Oh my god, there's three others." And I remember on that day, I bought like all four of them. I think that was my paycheck for the month.
It was all ramen and water from then on. So, speaking of being cheap, let's talk about one of the biggest things that comes. Speaking of free, let's talk about Napster. So that was the big thing that came out in weird circles, in high school circles at least. For those who don't know, Napster was the way.
What is a Napster?
What is Napster when you take naps, sir? Do I get a knee slap?
Damn, no. You got dance on that one. Damn it.
Take back the knee slap. All right. The program. You guys are the computer guys. What would you call that? Was it a program or it was a thing that took over everybody's computer?
Peer-to-peer music sharing service.
Thank you very much.
File sharing service.
So
because Harold was not just watching.
I was not. If you ever look at the computers at the old computer lab, you know I was.
It was Bret Hart matches, all right?
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Macho Man.
Real quick, we kind of mentioned that it kind of shows you the variety and the strength of Harold and his diversity. Not only was he a choreographer for the booze,
just like Dennis.
He's also a he worked at the computer lab at school,
just like Dennis. Also worked at Jamba Juice, just like Dennis. Thank you, Dennis, for all of those things, by the way. I've never thanked you.
What a resume.
No, you know, okay, before we go back into the Napster thing and the files, the services I used afterwards, but one of them, I was downloading movies at our computer lab, and they were all, because, you know, big wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. And this was the year, in 2002, when NWA TNA had started. When people were asking me, "What are you downloading?" I was like, "I'm downloading a bunch of TNA files." And they were like, "Excuse me?" And I was like, "TNA files, you know." And I was like, "Oh." Total nonstop action.
It's not wrestling.
Not anything else. And they were like, "Okay, I'm just making sure." Anyway.
Remind me of this story after the podcast, because I have a different story.
It's a different TNA downloading story.
About the jailbabes.com.
And it's not safe for work at this point. Sorry. I wish that was
That was another story. But with Napster itself, we discussed this before, is if you had a regular dial-up, which for the most of us, if you didn't have a 33.3 or a 56K, it was impossible. Anything less than that, you were never going to get a file in less than 4 hours. Sometimes you just had to let things download overnight.
Yeah, I think.
And like we talked about before, it would sometimes just cancel right before the file was about to finish. Or someone would log off and you'd be like, "Well, yep, there's 24 hours well spent.
All for one song.
I just to go. Hear Aqua's Barbie Girl."
Wow, that was a banger, dude.
Yeah, still is, man.
Yeah, I still remember, like, when you know, going to the dorms at college, where T3 Connections was like a godsend, because that meant you could download a whole 3 songs in an hour. And it's like, yeah, go to Mike's, spoilers, go to Mike's apartment or dorm, because he has T3 Connections. Yeah.
Sorry, I mean,
or one of the somebody's dorm back then, you know, you could rip a CD or download a bunch of songs, and like, you know, for 4 hours you can get like a whole 6 songs, so you know, it was totally worth it. So yeah,
and the computer labs.
Yeah, or at their apartment, because for some reason they had like really high speed music at their apartment. But the funny thing is that always made me laugh was, so there was like 30 of us rotating in and out of the apartment, right? And
were you running back then, dude?
No, but I mean, just wish, like, in general,
dude,
like,
if we charge a dollar,
like a hostel, entrance,
yeah, they would have. They would
have been a killing, dude.
But like, so you had 30 different people making a bunch of different CDs, but with all the same songs in different orders. So anytime you go into somebody else's car, we'd be like, all right, so play that one song, because we all know you got that on the CD, because we all got the same CDs.
Yeah, dude.
They're all Jurassic 5 songs.
So yeah, for those people who don't know what we're talking about, maybe there's some young ones. Before, there was, you couldn't just download songs
to your phone.
On iTunes.
You had to kind of either have a DVD or a CD of it.
Yeah.
Or Napster.
Yeah.
But, of course, that was the year, of course, also that we discovered all these, like, computer viruses, because everybody was...
Thank God Dennis knew how to use computers.
Yeah, I did not, for the record. So I apologize to my mom and dad for crashing, like, 2 computers in 3 years. So, my bad, Dad.
Like, all because of Barbie Girl.
Yeah. Danny so, Barbie Girl.
It was the Millennium CD.
Danny Ace of Base.
You're not wrong.
All the things.
Well. Ace of Base, man. Oh, wow. All right.
So, speaking of bugs and everything, I guess one of the things that I still remember, because I was working at the computer lab at that point, there was the huge, like, you know, we have to prepare for Y2K. And I remember, wow. I mean, don't get me wrong, I appreciate it, because that's how I stayed afloat, because I was doing overtime trying to reformat the computers just so that it won't be affected by the Y2K bug. And for those people that, you know, don't know what that is, it was a scenario where people didn't really realize how long computers were going to last, that they, when they created initial code, they didn't actually think of, you know, rolling over. What happens after 1999?
It's the year 00.
And so at that point, everybody was, you know, freaking out. This is the end of the world. You know, everything's in a crash.
Banking systems, ATMs, yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things where it became such a huge thing, where Y2K, you know, I mean, that's where Y2J came from. Yeah. When we could talk about wrestling. But I remember that was such a letdown, because, you know, I know for a fact that I was kind of praying that something bad was going to happen, just because it would be so awesome. You know, it would have been like, you know,
what a story. Nice. Dude, jeez.
I remember, like, doing the New Year's Eve, and after celebrating, I was kind of like watching TV. Is anything happening? Anything happening? Damn.
You know what I remember about that is, I remember my parents were like, "It's gonna happen because it happened everywhere else already," and I was like, "Actually, you know, it was New Year's in a couple of countries already,
yeah, in Australia, and nothing happened." Yeah.
And my mom was like, yeah, but it's different when it comes to America. I was like, those countries are better than us.
Yeah. And she's just like, talking about China and Japan.
Yeah, we're more technologically advanced. Nothing crashed. And then she was just like, watch, it's going to happen to this country. And I was like, fine then. Because my mom was literally like, okay, nobody's going out for New Year's this year.
Yeah.
I was like, why not? She's like, because when everything goes black. My mom said, when everything goes blackout, how are you going to get it out of your car? I was like, first of all, my car is gas. You know, there wasn't that issue of, you know, the Wi-Fi going down on my thing here. And the second of all, my car was stick, so if anything, I could just push it. But then she was more concerned about, like, the street lights and everything, and I was like...
I still remember, I mean, it's kind of an audio, but, like, my uncle was actually, speaking of what Dennis was talking about, the fear and everything, my uncle was able to buy a house because of it. Because I remember he was one of the few dudes who was computer savvy, and he was an adult. So I guess people, these companies paid him like hand over fist to, you know, retrofit or to make sure that, to debug their systems to the point where, yeah, they could, like, dude was like, could ask for literally anything. And yeah, it's funny because I can also almost imagine him saying, like, when nothing happened, it's like, see, I told you, I fixed that. You got a round of applause, and here's a house.
That's the funny part is that looking back, I kind of wish I took advantage of that because that was my job.
You let that one slide so easily, man.
That was my job. I was like, okay, change this code, upload this file, and that was it.
Here's your bill, $15,000.
You know, actually, if you think about it, there's one time where Dennis took advantage of Y2K.
How?
Because when I was working at Jamba Juice and he wasn't working there anymore, uh-huh. He just went to the back and stole a bag of soup.
What?
And then when the people said, what is he doing? And I said, Y2K.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow. Y2K, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Dennis. Go, please.
Excuse me. I didn't steal anything. I left that there.
Yeah, you borrowed it 2 weeks earlier. And you were just returning it back to your house.
Y2K.
Y2K.
At least a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, you quit like a good month before.
Yeah, I think. And I remember I walked in, hey guys, and I was like, hey, I walked in the back, grabbed it, walked out, bye guys.
And that's how Dennis survived. Oh, see, your story went full circle. That's how you survived.
His house was a little soup kitchen. And that's how I was able to afford my Jack in the Boxes. Jamba Juice is paying me a whole almost triple digits every week. It'd be like, wow, we're rolling in dough here. DBs.
Which, by the way, the digits was .00 also. He was making $3.
We made double that.
No. Oh, dude. If only story, like there's so many stories. We should do like a Patreon account just for stories of Jamba Juice, dude.
Oh, if you guys want to hear some stories about Jamba Juice, I'd say get me drunk, but that's not going to happen anymore. Or give us money on our Patreon. We're going to start winning just for this.
And we're going to call it Jamba Juice Stories. Oh, man. Okay, anything else that we can think of?
I think we covered a lot that year.
I think the last thing I probably want to talk about is like the two cult movies, two cultural favorite movies that were technically box office bombs,
mm-hmm.
but have had a great cultural impact for since then.
Mamma Mia on Broadway?
That too.
Don't okay. Yeah.
But I was thinking more
of... Do we have another hour for Mamma Mia? Sorry, go ahead.
I was thinking of... Ring again. Office Space. Mm-hmm. Office Space came out in 1999. And Fight Club. Two yeah. movies that were basically the same movie about dudes. And I remember, and this is the thing, I saw both of those movies in theaters on opening night. Nobody else was in the theaters because they had no idea what they were expecting. Literally, movies come out on DVD and everyone's like, have you seen these movies? And I was like, yeah, I saw them in theaters, you douchebags. And then I was like, okay, I'm the douchebag. I'm telling everybody else that I'm better than them for actually yeah. seeing it in theaters.
So by the way, I'm one of those douchebags.
Did you watch Office? Yeah, watch Office.
I watched Office, yeah. But I'm not Fight Club.
Not Fight Club.
I remember like watching the trailers for it. I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't seem appealing to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And more or less, we wanted to watch it just because we thought it was literally a Fight Club where yeah. it was like, you know, Brad UFC Pitt
fighting. Yeah, yeah.
And then my one buddy was like, I want to watch it because Brad Pitt is shirtless the whole time and glistening. And I was like, holy.
Watch your language. So I don't want to believe anything.
No, no. We celebrated his wedding last year.
Watch your language.
It's a good movie.
So yeah, if you think of it, like if you add Fight Club, that was the year of I guess twists because you had yeah. Sixth Sense and The Matrix and Fight Club, which all like key scenes of those movies is that you come in thinking the movie is one way, and then literally that scene will flip everything that you saw and think about. And make it a totally different movie. And I think Fight Club was a great one. Like you were saying, like you have an Office Space is definitely one of those movies where I remember where I was watching it because I was one of those jerks that didn't see it in theaters. I saw it on DVD, and it was one of those things that like it oddly enough, like again, It was weird because, like, I loved American Pie because, like I said, it felt like it was a mirror of what I was going through in high school that day or back then.
Except it was bibinka.
Yeah. Jeez. American Mamon.
And yet, for some reason, his wiener still didn't fit in the It's a cupcake. Mamon is a cupcake.
Mamon is a... Sounds like a plot twist. It was a cupcake all along! So yeah, it was Office Space was just like a great movie ahead of its time. I think that it's on Comedy Central all the time.
It's still relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sad that movie's still relevant.
Yeah, because I don't think
it was Harold's life for
a few years. I remember in college they made me do a report on it, and I was the only one who broke it down in like terms of this movie is literally going to be everybody's future.
Yeah,
a lady gave me a C- on my paper. And then when a year later, when I graduated, I was like, this is what I'm doing at my job. I was like, I am fighting with people who won't give up their staplers for me.
Yeah. And a copy that won't work. It was a sad look at like retail for like Jennifer Aniston's character and then the office culture for homie. And it was Michael Bolton, exactly.
And it's interesting you were talking about the similarities of it. All three that you're talking about is... You know, here is what's weighing us down. And it's us wanting to be able to get away and break the bonds of not slavery, but monotony.
Monotony and, monopoly.
Yes, those bonds. The bonds of monopoly. You can go past go. You know, you pass go, you still make more money than we made at Jamba Juice. Damn you, Jamba Juice.
I was going to say, like...
Hashtag Jamba Juice is awesome.
Patreon us
for more stories like this.
That's going to be the end of the this episode. It's just been a great look back at, you know, the past. And years like 1999, where there's so many cultural events and moments that define not just that year itself, but, you know, for the rest of time, it's just crazy just to have...
Yeah.
You know, years like that.
You know? Yeah, you can look back and say, you can pinpoint exactly when that happened. When did people start being weird about Star Wars, Phantom Menace?
Yep.
When did the word MILF come from?
Stifler. You really love...
He loves it.
You love that and Gabriel Union today.
Shut up, dude.
Ironically enough.
Gabriel Union. Hey.
Right now is...
Hey, Dwayne Wade's a lucky
dude. America's Got Talent.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to DVR that.
No, she's the one that gave that guy the golden buzzer.
Is that a euphemism or?
That's all, folks.
Wrap it up. Let's go. That's all I got.
Lewis, two for two. Literally. And Nick and Dennis almost fall out of his chair. So, we got websites. We got Facebook.
We got social medias.
We got social medias.
Follow them. See them.
All right. Yep. Thank you again for listening. This is Harold.
This is Lewis.
This is Dennis.
Totally off. Sorry.
My brain. It's Harold, Dennis, Lewis.
Oh, yeah. It's
right.
Yeah.
Year 2000.
Yeah.
Minus
one. Year 2000.
Minus one.